You're listening to this week's message here at The Cause Church. For more information, visit our website at thecausechurch.org.
I want to look at the story of the prodigal son this morning. So let's jump back to Luke 15. And we put a title on it of two brothers. So we'll pick up at Luke 15, verse 11. I want you to see this. I want to give you 5 points then and some scriptures to lay, to add to it. But I want you to see this morning, I love the story of the prodigal son. I've read it over years, and it's one of the first stories I think I learned in the Bible. I used to have these little, I think they were Kingsway books that were real glossy. And anybody remember those? Anybody here in their 30s like me? I still have a bunch of them at home. But I want you to understand this, that God's word is meant to, like I say, if you're new to this church, we're so glad you're here. I don't need anybody to come up and say, oh, that was great. I want you to leave with God's word changing your life. That's my desire. I think if we miss that, we miss everything. And God's word is alive. My word is just my word. But when you add God's word to it, it's crazy, amazing. It changes. Just think about how much we prayed for Izzy last week, and because of our words to a God that loves us, he moved. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Luke 15, I want to read this to you, and I want you to look at it with me. It says, to illustrate this point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. Now, let me just say this to you. This is kind of comical. Because don't ever go to your dad before he passes and demand your share of the estate. Is that fair? It's really not good. It's just not good. I was with my dad yesterday. He's 89 years old. Takes him about 32 minutes to walk 5 steps. That's all good. I'll be there one day, probably. But I did not go up to my dad and say, okay, dad, you're 90 years old. You know, give it to me now. I didn't do that. Don't do that. It's disrespectful. This is what the son did. It said, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between two sons. Verse 13. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there, listen to this, he wasted all his money in wild living. Verse 14, about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. Verse 15, he persuaded a local farmer to hire him and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. Jewish people did not hang out with pigs, okay? It wasn't a good marriage, okay? It wasn't great. So Luke 15, so he's scraping the barrel. Verse 16, it says, the young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. Verse 17, when he finally came to his senses, I love this. If you leave with nothing else today, remember verse 17, when he finally came to his senses. I love that. I love it. He said to himself, and understand, he went through a dialogue with himself, understanding where he once was, where he was then, where he needed to go now. Make sense? There was a process. And I think a lot of times we need to have those moments of come back to reality. What are you doing? What's going on in your life? Speaking to ourselves. It says, at home, he says, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. Verse 18, we're going to go through 32. I will go home to my father and say, Father. I don't know why I shouted that. I just did it for effect, I guess. Did it work? I have sinned against both heaven and you. Understand, the son acknowledged what he did was wrong. You can never turn from sin until you acknowledge that what you're doing is wrong. Number one, that it's wrong. Number two, that it's hurting you. We have to understand that. I renamed something last week. I'm not changing God's word. But I renamed temptations as not God's plan. And it just really makes sense to me because it's not God's plan. And it makes much more sense that God has I believe that God has a better plan for us than we have for ourselves. I believe that. And so that's what I relabeled that. He says, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. Luke 19, verse 19. And I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. That's another key thing in coming to Christ. We've got to understand that the older I get, the more I spend in God's word. God's word is not meant to make me feel bad about myself, but it's meant to let me understand that who I am, God still loves me in spite of that. Man, that's powerful. Because I can be unlovable. Nobody's saying a word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It said, I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. Verse 20. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Listen to this, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Notice it did not say that the father went off on the son, punched him, and threw him in a dungeon. A lot of times in church, we act like God is out to get us. I call it a sniper God, like he's out to just gun us down. That is not God's plan for your life. And some people need to, don't ever put, I say this a lot, you've heard me say, don't put, if you had a bad situation with your earthly father on this earth, don't put that on this father, because it will mess you up. I'm sorry that happened to you and your earthly father, but don't put that on this father, because he's not like, he is better than the best earthly father in this room. He is perfect. Perfect. He's perfect. And it said he embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. That's the thing we've got to understand, that I am not worthy to be called God's son, but yet I still am. So crazy. Verse 22. But his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Verse 23. And kill the calf we have been fattening. So they've been preparing it for a long time for a special occasion. Boom, here's a special occasion. Here's a special occasion. It said we must celebrate with a feast. Verse 24. For this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. This is the father speaking. Listen to this. I love this. So the party began. I really believe this with everything that's in me. My desire at this church, I don't try to get people just to say a prayer and pat them on the head and go home to accept Christ. It is a lifestyle change. It is a transformation that happens. It's bigger than a prayer. It is a lifestyle change. What that means is I was heading on 95 north. Now I'm going 95 south. Don't go on 95. It's not of God. But you understand what I'm saying. It is just, it's completely turning a different direction. And it's understanding, as Savannah said earlier, it's understanding what God's grace is in our lives. It's so sweet. It is just so amazing. And so he says, let the party begin. But now watch what happens. We're going to talk about the two sons for a moment, because the second son was not a great son as well. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. Verse 26. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. Verse 27, it says, your brother is back. Now, you would expect the brother that was out in the field would be like, yes, yes. But watch what happens. He said, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry. That's the best he could do there. Just get angry. He was angry and wouldn't go in. So you ever, those of you that have parents, well, most of us have parents, but you have kids. You know how your kid will get, if the things don't go their way, they will sit like this. And they'll just like, I call it packing up your game and going home. I've made my nieces and nephews mad by that in the past, because I'll tell you what, when I play my nieces and nephews, whether they're 2 or 22, I'm giving it all I've got. I'll beat them. I give it to them. Don't be bringing Candyland up in my face. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to bring it. And I'm going to bring it. I want to teach them defeat at an early age. Amen? Some of you parents are saying, we are not putting our kids in his children's ministry. They're going to be tougher. No, I'm just joking. I really will beat them. I really will take them out. But this is what the brother's doing. His brother was gone. His brother chose to willingly walk away, disappear. There's no cell phones. There's no text messaging. There's no Instagram, nothing to know where he was. He's gone. Now he's come back. So the brother's standing over here when there is a feast going on in the house celebrating the brother's return. He's standing there like this. I'm not going in. And I really feel like we can miss so much of God's movement in the life of a church, in our lives, if we take the older brother's stance and not go in, because we're pitying ourselves and being a victim when we really weren't. And we'll talk about that more later. But the brother missed something special because his attitude was wrong. His attitude, and I have been there. I have been that older brother that sits there and acts like that. And I don't believe that's God's plan, because he gave us this parable. And it says this, his brother came out and begged him. But he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Here's what he's doing. This is called instant pity party. Are you with me? It's like everything's going over here. And it happens. I've seen it in the years. Let's use worship team as an example. If somebody gets up, you're on the worship team, and somebody else comes up, and Charles brings somebody else, and they sing better than you. And you're like, listen, you're just like, and you just walk away. I shared this a lot years ago. I played the drums last Sunday for the first time in 9 years. It was so amazing to be back. Thanks for your encouragement. But in Ocean City, this is so important. And some of you have heard this, but I think it's important to understand. In God's kingdom, we're not competing against each other. This church, we're on the same team. But we need to make sure we don't mask it in everything's okay. But then you're still trying to compete. But here's the thing. This guy came in, and I played the drums every Sunday for like 30 years in every church I was with. I loved it. A new guy came in, got saved. He was an old rocker. He played in bands with his shirt off. He was serious, man. And I just said, I told the worship, why don't you let him play? I didn't know what I was saying because this guy is crazy good. And the first few weeks he played, I'd sit in my seat. I get so mad. And I'd be like, why did I ask him to play drums? I mean, this guy was, he made me feel like I was the worst drummer. He made me feel like that. And so I just decided I had to make a decision. I can either get mad, which is not godly, or I can let this drummer take me to a new level. And I chose to listen to him, start encouraging him, and watch him. And my drumming changed within a matter of a month. I mean, so that's the attitude behind it. But I want you to understand, I went the other direction for a while. God had to reel me back in, but I made the choice. And it's so important for us to understand that you can handle any situation two different ways, right? It's not easy at times, but this brother did not handle it well. So it says, he's talking, you didn't even give me a young goat. You're giving him the fattened calf, all this stuff. And now he's throwing it out. Then he goes on to say this. He says, yet when this son of yours, I love it. He says, this son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours comes back after squandering. So now he's beginning to point out the bad things the brother did. It's like, you ever been around somebody like that, even in the church? This person did this. I'm not that bad. Well, no. Let's have a relationship with God, not through other people, but just with ourselves. Amen? He says, when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, I love how he just throws it out there. You celebrate by killing the fattened calf. And then it says this. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me. Listen to this. Everything I have is yours. Isn't that amazing? Everything I have is yours. Then it says this, we had to celebrate this happy day for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. 5 quick points I want you to see. Number one is this, doing our own thing can lead us to places we don't want to go. Think about it for a second. This story illustrates two things. A son that was with the father, which signifies today we're in Christ, we're with him, we're walking with him, we're saved, we're growing in him. And then we willingly choose, maybe not willingly, but at some point we made the decision to step outside of God and we begin to walk away and we're no longer with the father. That's dangerous ground. It's dangerous ground to be in. So what happens, this son did not play it out this way. He never said, Father, I want my share of the estate now because I'm going to go down the road and I'm going to work in a pig pen. That's my dream in life. That's what I want to do. It just looks appealing. I've seen so many people. I hear people talk about it. You've not experienced fulfillment in life until you work in a pig pen. It's fantastic. I mean, pigs are wonderful to just feed, even to eat their food. It's delicious. This is not what the son said to the father. So what happened, that's why I say doing our own thing can lead us to places we don't want to go. A lot of us most of us that are here this morning that are with Christ, never let those things that once were sending us to hell call out to us to come back and read the press clippings and think they're better than what you have. Don't ever let that, because I've come to a place in my life that there is nothing I have to go back to. There's nothing in this world that is worth not being with my father. There's nothing. Because this world, and that's what happens. This is what happens today. Even if you're here and you've never been with Christ, that's why people today are finding so many things and they're experimenting with changes in their life, because this is going to be the golden nugget that's going to fulfill me. This is what's going to change my life forever. This is what's going to happen. We're struggling with identity and all this stuff. God says, if you come to me and you hang with me, I will show you who you are. Because through that process, you will understand who I am. And when you start to understand who I am, you will automatically start to understand who you are. And my goal today is talking about identity, is that we all understand who we are in Christ. Because if we begin to understand who we are in Christ, we're not going to start looking outside and thinking it's probably going to be better out there. Amen? Doing our own thing can lead us to places we don't want to go. The younger son had no intention of working in a pig pen, but he wound up there. And you say, well, I know people that aren't with Christ that are happy. Let me just say this to you. No, they're not. They might say they're happy. They might say this is the life, but there's not joy in their heart, because joy only comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've seen a difference in that joy and happiness when people that were out in the world and playing with sin, I've seen them come to Christ and give their heart to Christ, and how they look different and how there's something different happening in their life. You can't compare it. You say, well, what about people that say they're happy? Well, they're deceived. Because I've been deceived, church. I can be so deceived. I can, in a minute, well, not maybe a minute, but in a time frame, I have the potential within me right now today, your pastor, if you allow me to be your pastor, I can be the younger son. I might not walk up to God and say, God, give me my share right now. But I can do a slow fade, and I can find myself in a pig pen with pigs. And you could go, how did that happen? And I might say to you, no, it's okay. It's not that bad. You know it is, because you're still in with the Father. See, our perspective on life changes with who we are with. If you're with the Father, you see things completely different. If I am out here, my vision begins to change, because I have let things come into my life that never would have when I was with the Father. Are you with me? So I can see clearly. I've sat here, and if I let this happen to me, the things I see today so clearly will change if I allow myself to be out here. And I don't want to be there. I don't want to wind up somewhere that I didn't want to go. Because I can promise you, if you stay with Christ, that you will never wind up someplace you did not want to go. I remember years ago, I would never respond to altar services at churches as a teenager, because I was worried to death God was going to call me to the mission field. Can I just be honest? Everything else I've been saying is a lie, so I'll be honest here. I would not go to altar times, because I knew people would come back and they'd say, I feel called to go to Nigeria. I feel called to go to Germany. I'm like, uh-uh. I like this country. I like being right here. I was terrified. God does not force you to do things. He changes your heart. I never responded and thought, God, call me to the ministry, because it just happened. It just happened. Because if we either believe he's a good father, or we don't. And that's why it's so, you will find out who you are if you stay with the Father. Because I lose myself out here. That father's value on that son, not that anything's wrong with feeding pigs if there's any farmers in the house. I grew up on a farm. It's good. Good work, manual labor is good, amen? That's how you get buff like me. But that father's vision for his son was not to wind up in a pig pen, which is representing sin, which is representing the things in his life that were not his plan. But he still wound up there. Number two is this. Coming to our senses can be a defining moment in our lives. This son had to come to a place. You ever heard somebody say, let him hit the bottom? They're going to have to hit the bottom before they realize it. As a parent, I can't imagine what that's like. I cannot imagine. If your son or daughter is not serving Christ, but you have to have tough love and let them go. And they're just, I have family members that clearly have not hit the bottom yet. For some, I don't know. But what happens is there's got to come a place, and it came in this guy's life when he realized, wait a minute. This is not what the Father had planned for me. I shouldn't be in a pig. I was with my father. Think about what this father's heart when the son did wrong. What was happening with him when he was there? He had everything he needed. And this isn't a message on God's going to give you everything you ask for and all that. I'm not saying that. God knows what to give us. But what I'm saying is he was complete with the Father. He had everything he needed that he needed, that the Father knew he needed. But yet he's out here with the pigs and he's like, what is going on here? I was there and now I'm here. There had to be something happening in his life that he had that light bulb moment where he went, I can't do this anymore. I have sinned. I have fallen away. I'm not with the Father. I've got to get back to the Father as fast as I can, because I know what the Father has. And I want to encourage you today, maybe you've gone through this process, maybe you're here this morning, and you were the prodigal son. You're out there, and maybe you're not literally in a pig pen, but I'm telling you, if you're not with the Father, you're playing in the dirt. And that's not God's plan for your life. Doesn't mean you're a horrible person. It just means it's not God's plan for your life. And you need to come to that moment in your life. Do the math. I always think this. You look at people that are so filled with sin and so far away. I'm only who I am by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am no better than the worst sinner in the world today. I'm no better in sin sight than the worst murderer in this world today. I'm just covered by the blood of Jesus. And that's humility. That's where we got to keep that humility in us. But there's got to come that place where we understand that this world, God has something better for me than what this world's calling out. Teenagers, please listen to me. You already were, I know. Don't buy the world's press clippings. Don't buy it. It's counterfeit. Let God give you the good gifts he wants to give to you. Listen, I could line up Christians that have followed God that weren't followers of Christ when they're teenagers. You say, but what about the experiences? Let me tell you something. We have to deal with the experiences. There's scarring, there's heartache, there's things that happen with it. God can forgive it, but the experiences can still be there. There's Christians that still wish they wouldn't have done this or that. God's forgiven them. They're completely, but it's hard to forgive yourselves at times, church. And I'm telling you, teenagers, you want to do the right thing, stay with your Father. Don't let the press clippings of the pig pen. Remember, Satan comes as an angel of light. So he'll make the pig pen look like the Hilton, if that's a good hotel for you. I don't know. But he'll make it look like a water park or Brad Pitt or whoever's attractive to you. But they really are a pig pen. Amen? I didn't say Brad Pitt's a pig pen, but you understand what I'm saying. Coming to our senses can be a defining moment. And let me say this. I think that in our lives, we continually need defining moments. I was just reading something this week, and I read this scripture. I preached out of it 25 times in the past 2 years. And I read it, and I went, boom. And it changed my, it wasn't different from what I believed, but I just didn't see it. And I was like, oh my goodness, it's changed my life this week. We need defining moments where we come to our senses and be like, maybe you're playing with something this morning and God's been saying, stop it. Come to your senses. Look at what this Father does to the Son. He doesn't criticize him and beat him up. Next point is this. We can be with the Father and still not be with him. You with me on that? Notice I say, are you with me on that? This is talking about the older son. He was with the Father. He never left. But he wasn't with them. I used this first service. I'll use it again. Husbands, I'm just talking to husbands. Wives, tune me out. I've been here numerous times. I'm trying to get better. You know how you can be having a conversation with your wife? You can be with her or you can be with her. Come on, guys. Help me out here. Like your wife, my wife sees through that. She could transition and say, yeah, somebody came in and robbed me today and I gave all our money to this or that. And I'd be like, oh, that's awesome, babe. I love that. Why? Because I wasn't with her. You with me? The difference in being with my wife is my heart with her. My ears can be in the room and I'm not with her. My voice can be in the room, I'm not with her. Is my heart there? That's what we're talking about here. The older son's heart was not with the father. It wasn't there. He didn't have a heart. Why? Because he didn't see through the same lens as his father saw. He was criticizing his brother. And what we need to make sure we don't do it, we can lose our identity if our heart's not with the father. We can be with the Father, not be with him. Point number five, we really change when we learn to receive from the Father. You know what? That means the Father said, all this time you've been with me and I've given you everything. That means that the older son did not know how to receive from the Father. He just didn't, and you can be with him. I've heard people say, I don't know how to be with him. I don't know how to receive from him. I don't know how to receive his love. You know how you do it? Just shut yourself in and receive him and let his word, what does he say about you in his word, apply it to your life. You ever apply scriptures to other people all the time, but you never apply them to yourself? We say, well, I believe God. I've heard people say, I believe God loves everybody, but I'm not sure he loves me. Why do you not believe that? Why would he separate? Does it say in the Bible somewhere that God says, I love every person in the world, but Greg Cooper, I can save anybody in this world. I can save mass murderers. I can save anybody. I can save a terrorist like Saul on the road to Damascus, but I can't save Greg Cooper. Who told you that? It's because we really need to learn to receive from the Father. We all know how to receive. If I said today, everybody that comes up after church is going to get a free ice cream cone, there'd be a great line. It'd be the best altar service we ever had. All you do is put your hand out. That's the same way you do for Christ. Maybe you've been praying, God, give me, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. How do you receive it? Just reach out and say, God, give it to me. It's not a system. It's not a formula. It's just saying, God, I went home to my dad. Now, he didn't give me anything this weekend. That's fine. He's 90 years old. He took care of me a long time. But when I was younger, my dad would reach out, and I remember he used to take me, and I loved grape knee-highs. Amen. Anybody with me? Nobody. Man, I'm old. But he'd give me these big bottles, and I was just a little boy. I would pick this thing up, and it was crazy, and I'd be drinking this big and spill it all over me, but it was grape, and it tasted good. I never had to say, Dad, I don't know how to receive from you. But you know what? The act of him giving me the knee-high, the act of him taking me out in his truck showed me my father loves me. He loved me. He talked to me. He loved me. I never doubted my parents' love for me one time. I might doubt some of their actions sometimes and try to figure them out. But I know my mom and dad, my dad loves me. He did made a lot of mistakes, but I believe he did the best he could. I was a mess. But I want you to understand, stop making it so hard. I'm speaking to myself, and don't be with the Father. I mean, we change when we learn to receive from him. Let's learn to receive from the Father. Last point. Can we throw that up? Or are we jammed up? Let the Father show you who you are and what you have in him. Man, this is so amazing, because this is the whole point of what I'm talking about. If you ask God to show you who you are and what you have in him, he will show you. That father, that sons, both sons were with the Father, and they really didn't buy into who they were. But once the son, one son left, and once the other son was still there, they both missed on what God had for them. If you learn, me and you learn to know who we are in Christ and what we have in him, it's going to change our lives. Let me read you three scriptures and we'll be finished. Romans 5, 8. I love this. Listen to this. Now, here's what I want you to do. There might be people here today, and we're going to be 5 minutes. We'll be finished. You're walking around and you're going, I don't know who I am in Christ. I don't understand who I am. I don't feel like he loves me. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel that way. Maybe it's because you're not with him. You need to give your life to him. But this is to help us to understand, once you're with the Father and you've confessed and you believed and you've asked him to be your Savior, I want you to receive these scriptures, because it's going to help you be able to stand when the world starts calling, and it's going to answer several questions of who I am in Christ. It says this, but God showed his great love for us. You know what? You're in us. You can include yourself. When the Bible says us or you, that's you. It says, but God, understand, this is the creator of the heavens and the earth being personal to show you how much he loved you. He didn't just tell you, he showed you. It says, he showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Now, if he did that while we were still sinners, how much more do we need to know who we are while we're with him and we're covered in his righteousness? Because of him. What he did for us. He didn't wait on you to get better. God, here's the whole point of this. God wants you to be with him. That's amazing. Are there people, be honest, you don't want to be with? Sure there are. Family members, people that you met, you don't want to hang out with them. But in all that I am and all that I was before, God wants to be with me so much, he sent Jesus to die for me, so that I could be with him. Church, that never equals one and two for one and one for me. I just can go back to that equation and think, it doesn't add up, it doesn't add up, but he did it before I was a Christian. He did it while I was still a sinner. And then verse 9, it says this, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ. How awesome is that? Do you understand, if you're in Christ, you've been made right? When God looks at you, you're right. It's as if you never sinned. By the blood of Christ, he will certainly save you from God's condemnation. Now listen to this, verse 10. For since our friendship with God, listen to that, our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. Verse 11. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. That's family, right? Never doubt. Today, you're doubting if God loves you. You've been made right in his sight by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1:4, it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. You hear what that means? He chose every single person that will ever walk this earth. And he said, I want you to be with me. Hell was only prepared for the devil and his angels, or his demons. That's it. There's not a person that's in hell today that God said, nope. You just go to, every person there chose it. But every person that's there, it was God's will for them to be with him in heaven. It was his plan. He chose. So doesn't that move us to think that the people that are in hell today, God chose them? He chose them. He said, I want you. I want you. But we're still here. We're still alive. God's still choosing us today. He still says, I want you. That means that you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. God chose you way back here and said, I want to have you in my life. I want to be in your life. I have great plans for your life. He loves us that much. And it says he chose us to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Verse 5, it says this. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus. He adopted you. He chose to adopt you. So never question, does God want me here? Does God love me? He made the first move, church. You didn't force yourself in and say, you got to take me, God. You didn't do that. You didn't run in there. You're not that person that always shows up in the pictures on the beach behind you. Who is this guy? You ever have those pictures? This guy's always here. You photobomb. You didn't do that. God said, I chose you first. So don't be acting like you chose. I chose you while you were still a sinner. I want you here. He chose you. So we should never walk around going, does God love me? Does God love me? Because he adopted me when I was still a sinner. When I was at my worst. That's amazing. And it said, this is what he wanted to do. And he gave it. It gave him great pleasure. That's crazy. It gave him great pleasure to adopt me. God decided in advance, actually, verse 6. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Verse 7, we're almost finished. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showed his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. I want to close with this. I want you to think about this. It says he purchased our freedom. We were in bondage. If you're here this morning and you're not with God, it said you were under the control of the devil. That's what the scriptures teach us. Doesn't mean you chose it and you're bowing to Satan, but that's, you're either with God or you're not with God. It's just the way it is. But what happened is with sin and death, Satan reached out and he grabbed all of us and he said, I got you. And he put a grip on us. And when Jesus came to the earth and died and rose from the dead, what that did is that opened up the devil's hand. And it opened. Because there's only one way. My good deeds, listen, I can't do anything to earn God's love or save myself if I am in the grasp of the devil. There's nothing. I mean, you ever had somebody grab hold of you tight and you can't move? I am powerless to Satan and his demons without Christ. I'm in their grip. So you're just like this. You can't move. But Jesus said, I'm going to open that hand. I'm coming down. I'm going to open that hand. And the only perfect way to do it, there's no other way. I'm going to offer my life up as the perfect sacrificial lamb, which we're going to celebrate next week. But I encourage us to celebrate every day. And when I come back, when I rise from the dead, that hand is going to, death has no hold on you. Satan cannot carry you to hell. He can't keep you in bondage. He can't terrorize you. He has no hold on you. So basically what that means is the hand is not yet to open. It's open. And we only can be with the enemy if we choose to stay there. The pavement, the road has been paved out of that. What that means, the moment you confess to Christ, the Bible says we're free. Because you now have the power over the enemy based on the blood of Jesus Christ, because it says he reached out and paid your debt and said, now enemy, you have to release my children. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So don't ever think, God, do you really love me? Do you really love me? When he purchased you, he came up and said, I'll take that one and that one. Actually, give me all of them. Just give me all of them. We went to adopt a cat a few weeks ago at the animal shelter, and we just wanted all of them. Their cat's in there 17 years old, and they just look so sad. And it's like, we just want to take them. We didn't. We took this cat, little kitten. Jesus walked in and said, I'll take every single one of you. And what happens, that means is he's freed me. All I need to do is step out of the cage and go home with Jesus and let him be my father. So what that means, I don't care what you've done in this room. Don't take that wrong. I do. You can be in this room and you say, but Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but you don't understand what I've done. I don't. And I don't need to know. I don't need to know. Because all you need to do is call out to God and say, God, you adopted me in advance. You want me to be with you. Here I am. I'm going to give my heart to you today. And I'm going to step out of that cage. And I'm going to step into it because you purchased me. That is why, church, I stay with Jesus, because he paid a price for me. James 1:17, I got to hit this one real quick because I want you to hear what you are to him. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God the Father. Now listen to this. Go on and stand, because I'll stop then. It says, who created all the lights in the heavens? Listen, he never changes or casts a shifting shadow. You never have to go back and say, Jesus, do you still love me? Do you still love me? He's like, yes, I love you. It didn't change. I love you. I still love you the same as I did yesterday. I love you the same as I did before you were a Christian. I still love you. Nothing's changed. Because the Bible says he doesn't change. But listen to this. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, you're a we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Boom. Never question who you are in Christ if you're in him, because he looks at you and says, you're my prized possession. You're my prized possession. We all know what that means. It's something you cherish. It's something that you carry with you. You have in a trophy case at home that you have. He doesn't put us away in a trophy case and say, just stand there. He says, no, you go and you walk with me, you talk with me, and you watch me use you for true fulfillment in this world. Let's find out who we are in Christ, church. We all need to go into a deeper area and say, God, show me who I am. Show me who you are and change my life. Amen? God has great things. Never, ever walk around and question who you are in Christ. You ask him, he'll tell you. Can I get the prayer team to come up and stand here? Those of you that are new to our church, we close every service with an altar time. Just see God do great things. And here's what I want to do. If you're new to the church, we're family. We're a growing family, and that's okay. We're all a mess. Raise your hand if you're a mess. Some of you are lying. You're messes. We're all messes. So we've already got that out of the way, right? It's not God's plan that we're a mess. It's God's plan that we're healed and set free, have breakthroughs so we can pour into other people. I just want to throw this at you this morning. They're going to close us in a song here in a minute. The way we traditionally do this, and if you're here this morning, I'm going to call us up at once here in just a minute. But you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I need special prayer. Maybe you want to give your life to Christ. You never have. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but just come up here in a minute to one of these people and just say, would you introduce me to Christ? Maybe you're the prodigal son and you say, give me back to my father. They'd love to. Maybe you need prayer for healing. Maybe you have a problem at home or in your job. I believe God heals and delivers. Maybe you have problems with bad thoughts this week and you just can't let go of them. One of these people would love to pray with you. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to come up. And if there's more than, I have five people here, more than five, please come and just wait and they'll get to you. But you might say, you know what? I just want to hang out with Jesus. Just me and Jesus time. Just me and Jesus. You come up to my left. You can kneel. You can sit. And you and Jesus just talk. He loves you, right? So here's what I want to do. I just want to throw it out there. I'm just going to say, right now, can we just all, if you're in this room and you just need prayer, or you want to hang out with Jesus, I'm just going to ask you to come right now. We're family, remember? We're family. You say, Pastor, what do people think? Listen, who cares? Amen? Who cares? If they're looking at you, they're mischanneled. They should be with Jesus right now. If you need special prayer, I'm just going to call you up. And if there's already five people taken, just wait and they'll know somebody's coming. I'm just going to encourage you to still come and let's just see what God does. Amen. So please come, so continue to come. Jesus, you're so good. God, bless these people, God. I pray you'd bless them, God. I pray that if I've said anything this morning that is confused or anything like that, God, I pray you'd fix it. God, I pray you'd heal. I pray you'd set people free. I pray that you would just plant vision. I pray, God, that you'd help us to understand who we are in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Please come this morning.
This is Pastor Greg at The Cause Church. I want to thank you so much for tuning in this week to check out one of our sermons. God is doing great things here at The Cause Church, and I do hope that this week's sermon has encouraged you and has drawn you closer into your walk with Jesus, because I do believe that each week we can take God's Word and apply it to our lives, and it will transform us, and we will find ourselves walking in His plans daily. So I want to invite you also, we have 3 Sunday services. They're identical. So we have a 9:30, an 11, and a 6. We would love if you would take the time to stop in and check us out and see what God is doing here. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in, and I pray that God blesses you this week, and we look forward to seeing you at The Cause Church on Sundays. Have a great day.